This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and across America. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell. This is the second part of a two-part interview with Wilderness and Wildlife's former host, Jay Shell. Using the pseudonym Jay Shell, John Schellenberger has been the host of Wilderness and Wildlife on KGVM for the past 7 years here in Bozeman, and is now passing the torch on to myself, Ben Churchwell. In the previous episode, Jay and I discussed his personal background in wildlife advocacy and some of his stories from the backcountry. Today, we get into how Jay got his start at the Gallatin Wildlife Association, his concerns surrounding current wildlife issues, his takeaways from hosting the radio program, and his plans moving forward. How did you become involved with the Gallatin Wildlife Association?
A guy named Joe Gutkowski, who was a retired forest ranger, he ran an ad in the newspaper about the Gallatin Range and saving it as a wilderness, or just trying to preserve the sanctity of the Gallatin Range. And the ad was to invite people to a meeting for that purpose. And so I called Joe, and he invited me to come, and so I got involved that way. By then, the Greater Yellowstone Coalition changed the way it presented itself. It was no longer a members organization. They got corporate contributions, and they somewhat changed their demeanor. And so I got involved in that way through Joe Gutkowski, because he was also a member of the Gallatin Wildlife Association. So then I started attending weekly meetings of the GWA. Principally, as I initially got involved with them, they were heavily involved in trying to save mountain sheep, Rocky Mountain sheep over in the, to the west, in the Snowy Range. So I was kind of the newcomer to that group, but I attended regularly, and I made something of a contribution, and finally got involved in doing the radio program, Wilderness and Wildlife, and got them to sort of sponsor it, and that's turned into where we are right now.
Sure, yeah. You had mentioned the work to protect the mountain sheep population. Do you recall what kind of work the GWA was doing around that time regarding that issue, and what eventually came of it?
Well, sorry to say, I don't think anything really came of it. There was an area over in the Ruby Range that a high elevation area where the sheep were located, and the issue, of course, was to keep the mountain sheep separated from domestic sheep, because domestic sheep carry a virus that is lethal to mountain sheep. So they were trying to get the domestic sheep prohibited from proximity to these Rocky Mountain sheep. And I think the sheep lobby was too strong for them to overcome. So as far as I know, the situation hasn't changed in all these years.
Sure.
There's still a small herd up on top of that mountain in the Ruby Range or the Snowy Range. And they're still running domestic sheep at lower elevations.
Sure. either now or when you were first doing the Wilderness and Wildlife podcast, or any other time during your career working with wildlife, is there or has there been an issue you're most concerned about involving wildlife?
The issue that I really picked up on and have been focused on for a long time is the isolation that is created by the interstate highway system. It's great to have highways that go allow you to drive at 80 miles an hour across the country, but what those highways do is they are dividing factors for wildlife crossings, and there are a lot of wildlife deaths that are collisions that occur on those high speed highways, and there has over what the last 15 years or so, there have been highway crossings that have been built in many states to accommodate wildlife, get them across the highways in these bridge structures. There's actually one right here east of where I live in now near Seattle on Highway, what is it, I-90. Just east of Snoqualmie Pass, there's they finished a crossing structure, about 5 years ago, and it accommodates the wildlife. There are a couple in northern Montana, but I thought that there needed to be one on I-90, just east of Bozeman, that would allow wildlife coming north out of Yellowstone across through the Gallatin Range to be able to get across I-90 and move on north and eventually connect with the what is it, the wildlife areas east of Glacier National Park. So it allowed that corridor all the way from Yellowstone to Glacier to be a migratory route for wildlife, for bear and for elk and mountain lion, so on. And I'd love to see that happen, but there's been resistance with from the Department of Highways in Helena. In 2000, what was it, 18, I think. There was a meeting when Bullock was still a governor. There was a meeting in Helena, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the governor's office and the highway department. They convened the meeting, and we talked about getting crossings built in Montana, but I don't think much. Then Bullock got timed out of office, and so that effort, I think, fell apart. And I don't think that there's been a highway crossing built since then. There had been two wildlife crossings, I believe, up on 191 near Glacier on the Nez Perce Reservation up there, and that was the result of Montana being forced to build those crossings as a result of a lawsuit that had been initiated. Those crossings have been there for a long time, but the highway department hasn't moved on it since that time.
Shoot. Is there whether via the impacts of highways on habitat or via some other issue, are there any particular animals or birds that you're most concerned with today?
Grizzly bear, I believe, are currently threatened by a change. Well, grizzly bear are currently on the endangered species list, but I just read a few days ago that there's an effort now to delist the grizzly bear. Mm-hmm. That would be a shame, I think, if that were to happen. But between Trump and the governor of Montana, I suspect that listing is going to be taken away, and that's tragic.
Yeah.
And of course, wolves. I've been interested in wolves, and they are now listed except for Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. And that's really where they need to be listed more than anything.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're present.
Right.
There aren't many wolves that have. Wolves do seem to be coming into Oregon and even California. And the last I knew, there was an effort to reintroduce wolves into northeastern Washington. But I don't know if that's going to be stymied or not.
So you've hosted the Wilderness and Wildlife podcast for 7 years now. Is there an example of an interview you conducted that you found especially meaningful in that time?
Well, there are a lot that I
imagine.
In
yeah.
Preparation for this, I jotted down some of the ones that I thought were really interesting. I have to say that just everybody that I used to send inquiries via email to people, and most people responded. Some just blew me off, but I had quite a few people who I thought really did good interviews. And one of those was Cam Sholley, the superintendent in Yellowstone. And I interviewed Cam twice. And interestingly enough, I had known his father, Dan Sholley, many years before. The year that we did our trip up the Lamar River, I arranged for Dan to have dinner with the group I was with. And Dan gave us some bear spray to carry when bear spray was just coming into use. And Cam is his son, and I interviewed him twice for the radio program. Another great interview that you should follow up on, because it's been a while since I last talked to him, is Rick McIntyre. Rick McIntyre lives out in Silvergate, and he's a retired ranger. He goes out every morning to check on the wolves in the Lamar Valley. And Rick is, I was kind of intimidated about calling him, but he was very friendly and very helpful, and he did a great interview. He's written several books about the wolves in Yellowstone, and he got to know them very intimately, and he's a great interviewee. Then there was I think about a year ago I did an interview with Denver Holt, and he's in northwestern Montana, and he specializes in owls. And he did an interesting interview that you might follow up on. Eric Mulvar, who is with Western Watersheds, he's very knowledgeable. He's and covers a lot of ground around the West. So Eric Mulvar would be a great one to talk to. I try to interview people all over the country, rather than just in the Northern Rocky area.
Sure.
So I I interviewed a guy in Voyageurs National Park. He's the superintendent, Bob DeGrosse. He's superintendent of Voyageurs, and he's worth a good interview, talking about that lakes area in northern Minnesota that you can do canoe trips and then portage between lakes and waterways. Doug Peacock he lives in the Paradise Valley, and he's written a couple of books that are worth reading. One is In the Shadow of the Sabretooth, when he talks about the prehistoric animals and how they intermingled them among the wildlife populations of prehistoric Rockies. And he's also written a book about grizzly bear called The Essential Grizzly. And Joanna Lambert is a professor over at University of Colorado, and she's got a project in Africa where periodically she goes over to Africa and works with chimpanzees and orangutans, and she was a great interviewee. And then, of course, there is George Werfner.
Mm-hmm.
George used to live in Livingston, but he now lives in Bend, Oregon. But George travels all over the West, and he's an expert on wildfire, and he writes a lot. He's written, I think, 25 books, that he's done. And he writes about wildfire and wilderness areas. I've interviewed George several times, and he did a great trip in Alaska, and I did an interview with him about it, and it was on the Ivashack River. Nobody ever heard of the Ivashack River. I hadn't. But he flew up, and he and his party, one of them was his son, they put in on the Ivashack River, and George immediately fell in the water. Well, the Ivashack River is on the north slope of Alaska.
And yeah.
The water and the atmosphere are frigid. And George fell in right away trying to get in his kayak. And so he spent the rest of the day shivering near to hypothermia.
Jeez.
But that was a great trip that he'd done, an interview that I did with him.
Hmm.
I've done an interview with a Stanford professor about climate change, and I did an interview with Rick Stenger, who used to be on the faculty of the University of Alaska, but it was about Alaska marine ecology and the oil spill in near Kodiak. They were all great. People, I interviewed people about snakes, about bats, about butterflies, all prehistoric animals. I covered a broad field, and birds. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of interviews with people from the Cornell Laboratory and ornithology. So I did a lot of varied interviews. I really wanted to spread it out as much as I could and cover the subject. And of course, there were land use issues all the way along, trying to protect wild lands. And now there's a push on by particularly the Utah legislators to sell off to privatize or transfer to the state jurisdiction some of the BLM lands and other wild lands.
Mm. I mean, it's clear just from those highlights alone that you've gotten to hear from people from all areas of
Oh, yeah.
matters relating to wildlife. What are some takeaways that you've gathered regarding wildlife advocacy in general from your time hosting this podcast?
Well, I'd like to be positive, but given the current political situation, I think it's sort of bleak. We're going to have to put up a hell of a fight to keep from losing ground. I'd like to see an end to trapping and snaring, but of course, with the current governor in Montana and the politics in Montana, I don't think that's going to happen. Although, I think a really strong campaign on talking about the cruelty involved in trapping and snaring, that if that were done properly, and it was tried probably 10 or 15 years ago. I think if a really carefully put together campaign were carried on, that there might be brought an end to trapping and snaring. There's such a cruel kind of thing. I'd like to see the Gallatin Range become wilderness and become a safe transit corridor connecting the northern part of the state, and of course I'd like to see some highway crossings built. We're just going to have to launch a very strong campaign to keep from losing ground. If we'd had a different outcome of the election in 2024, we'd still be fighting battles, but they'd be winnable battles. Right now, we just have to hold on to what we got.
Well, moving away from your time hosting Wilderness and Wildlife, what do you plan to do now?
Well, I write a blog, a Substack blog, called Politics, Religion, and the Environment. And if people are interested in listening to my blog, they can send me their email address, jayshell at gmail dot jshell05 at gmail.com. They could send me their email address, and I can add them to my Substack list.
Okay, nice.
So that takes a lot of time. I've got oodles of books to read that I was thinking last night. I need to get more involved in the reading that I do. So that's going to keep me occupied. I'd like to do some more traveling again, at least domestically, and see more of the places that I've never seen.
What's on the top of your reading list right now?
Well, I'm reading a book. I've got to read some of Rick McIntyre's books that I haven't gotten to yet, but I'm reading a book called "We, the Yachts and the Have Yachts," which is about people who have extravagant wealth. And I'm reading a book called "Blur," which is about information overload. So those are some of the books that I'm reading right now. But there are plenty of other books in the realm of wildlife and wilderness that I want to get to as well.
Well, we're just about at time here, Jay. So I want to thank you again for joining me today. It was great hearing a little bit more about your personal experiences in wildlife matters and just in what you've come to having hosted this podcast for the time that you did. So yeah, thank you again for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you very much for checking in with me. And I wish you and Gallatin Wildlife, with whom I'll stay involved, I wish you well.
So, appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And thanks very much for taking over.
Of course.
I think I just outrun my course.
Well,
hang in there.
I'm honored to do it. And yeah, you've definitely made the transition very smooth. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you
Thank
again.
Thank you. All righty. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. More information about the association and its activities can be found at its website, www.gallatinwildlife.org. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org or to buzzsprout.com and scroll down to Wilderness and Wildlife. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell.